We've been having such a good time talking about prayer. I don't know if you've been having as good time as I have, and to be honest with you, you probably haven't. Because I'm probably the only one here that's heard every message. And, you know, there's something about it. And I would encourage you, they're on the web, and the last four will be up very soon. But we're finishing the names of God today. And we have here, as we've talked about our God, we've talked about His special redemptive names. Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord who is our righteousness. Yahweh Mekadesh, the Lord who is our sanctifier. Yahweh Shammah, the Lord who is there or speaks of His presence. Yahweh Shalom, the God who makes everything whole. Shalem is the word for whole in the Bible, and Shalom comes from it. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Yahweh Rapha, the healer. The Lord is our healer. Rapha is your healer. The Lord is your healer. Yahweh Yireh. And you remember the song, Jehovah Jireh, our provider? Well, this is the real name, Yahweh Yireh, our provider, or literally, God who sees, or sees in advance, or will see to it. Amen. And last week we talked about Yahweh Nisi, the Lord our banner, the one who protects us. He is our protector and our deliverer and always gives us the victory. We looked at prayer from a different point of view than most people look at it, because I don't know about you, but in all of my Christian life, I've been knowing that I'm supposed to be praying. Anybody here doesn't know you're supposed to pray? Anybody here think that prayer is optional? Prayer's not optional. Pray without ceasing. I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. And the Bible says, I will that men pray first of all. That means before you go to the doctor. That means before you go ask somebody else advice, pray first of all. And there's a lot being said about that right now, because it's in that scripture where it says first of all, and they bring out for kings and for all those that are in authority. And how many of you are praying for our president? How many of you pray that he will hear the voice of the good shepherd? Hear the voice of God and lead this country in righteousness. Yes. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any land. How many of you are praying that even some of the things that he has thought to do that we know don't agree with the Word of God, he'll have a change of heart?
Yes.
That's the way we should be praying. Amen. And pray that he'll remain sound and firm for Israel. This Mitchell that he sent as envoy to the Middle East and to Israel, he's already given a few statements and given us some clues as to what he believes. And he believes that Hamas was wrong, and Hamas should not have been firing rockets, and that Israel has a right to defend herself. Well, that's Bush administration policies also, you know. And so we're praising God that those things are remaining the same. You might as well know this, that if the United States ever turns against Israel, the United States will be known as former. It'll be known in past tense. It'll be known as a has-been. And for all of you, you get your hearts right about Israel. Israel's the apple of God's eye, and we're just blessed to be grafted in. We get to be part of Israel. And so, you know, we know about these things. We're praying for the present. But did you know that in that scripture in 2 Timothy where it says, I will that men pray everywhere. No, I will that men pray first of all. First of all. What's the first thing he says to pray for? Kings? No. For all men. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty big for me. When I think about all men, my mind kind of goes, zzz. It just can't quite do it. But you know what? In the Spirit, God is able to use us to pray for people we've never seen, and not to see people just as masses, but to see them as faces, to see them as people, to see them as ones that need love. and ones that need life. God tells us in Exodus 25, 22, He says, "There I will meet with thee." Speaking of where? Beneath the wings of the cherubim. You remember in the Holy of Holies there was the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of the Ark was something that was called the Kapora, or the mercy seat. And the mercy seat had two cherubim with their wings outstretched and coming together. God said, "I'll meet with you beneath those wings." One time a year, He came and met. Until Yeshua came and shed His blood, the rent veil of His flesh gave access to all men into the Holy of Holies at all times. In fact, the fact of the matter is, the Holy of Holies now is in this temple and in your temple. And so you can meet with Him there. But what does He say to do? "I'll meet with you and I will commune." Say commune. Commune. Well, that's where the word communion comes from, which has always been a religious word to me. But it isn't a religious word. Communion really has something that means more than just a meeting, doesn't it? It has to do with participation, interaction, relationship. "And I'll meet with you there." I'll commune. The Hebrew word is devar. It means I'll speak with you. God says He'll speak with us. With a still, small voice, He'll speak with us. So it's communion. It's what prayer is. And prayer is joy-filled communion. Can you imagine being in the presence of the Most High? What a wonderful thing that is. Think of the times you've had some real tender times with the Lord. Now I know you have. Think of those times when it's been tender and special. What are we doing there? Oh, you're looking at the... Okay, all right. No, that's all right. I thought maybe something was going askew there. Praise God. When you've had tenderness with Him, when you've had times of just knowing He was there, and it might not have been in a prayer meeting, it might have been some time that maybe you're trying to go to sleep and you just couldn't go to sleep, and your mind began to concentrate on Him and He just began to talk to you. My brother-in-law one night was in the middle of a freezer. I think I mentioned this the other night. We'd been talking to him about the Lord. And he said, "I just felt the presence of the Lord all around me." He said, it wasn't unusual for there to be steam, but he said, all of a sudden, he said, "this water vapor just engulfed me." And he said, "I heard the Lord's voice saying, 'I'm with you. I'm with you.'" Well, see, that's communion. Can you imagine what that did to him? He didn't feel cold anymore. He was working in a freezer, but he didn't feel cold. And so, those are kinds of times that I'm talking about. You know, when the Lord just maybe called you son or daughter or something like that. Have you ever had the Lord just say son to you? Daughter? Just talk to you like you're His child, you know? Well, this is what we're talking about. Joy-filled communion with our God. And Jesus, talking about this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, and by the way, I'll have you all turn to Psalm 103. But in Matthew 6, verse 9, you're all familiar with this. The disciples came to Yeshua one time and they said, "Well, teach us to pray." Now, why do you suppose they told Him or asked Him to teach them to pray? Has anybody thought about that? Why did they ask Him? They'd watched Him pray, hadn't they? They'd heard Him pray, and they knew that when He prayed, it wasn't empty words, and they knew that when He talked to God, things happened. He went out one time when they were all sleeping, and they woke up in the morning, and He'd been out all night praying. And He comes back in, and He says, "I'm going to name 12 emissaries, 12 apostles this morning." Well, where did that come from? They knew He'd gotten that in prayer. They had seen Him talk to the Father, and they knew that there was life in the conversation. And they knew that it wasn't like Jewish prayer, which, you know, as we've talked before, if you've watched the Jews stand before the Wailing Wall with their black clothes and their black hats and writing prayers out and pushing them in between the rocks and then standing there, see, they get into Hebrew and they just go off and off and off and they're just going like this and that. You know, I don't believe that that's wrong. I just don't believe that if you did that day in and day out, it would be very effective. Now, it is the Word of God, they're saying, so there's a power in it. You're getting some word on the inside. But unfortunately, anytime we use a prayer book, how many of you can read a book and not know what you read when you finish? How many of you read the Bible and sometimes say, well, I just read a chapter, have no idea what I read? Any of you that way? Don't be religious with me, be honest. Yes. Yeah!
That's true.
We've all done it, haven't we?
Yeah.
So you see, it's important that we don't do it. Now, I believe personally that they watched some righteous man get in the Spirit one time, and he probably was animated and moving and, you know, talking to God. And somebody else said, boy, this guy gets his prayers answered. It might have been Jesus, for all I know. And then everybody began to pray like that. Isn't that right? You know, there's nothing wrong. And not only that, a lot of Hebrew prayer is put to music. So it's kind of normal to swing and sway. Not with Sammy Kay, but when you pray. Most of you don't know Sammy Kay, do you? Come ride with me in my car and I'll put the 40s music on and you can listen to Sammy Kay. But you see, Jesus talks to them later, and when they ask him how to pray, he says, well, pray like this. He didn't say, pray this prayer. Now, I want you to notice he didn't say that, because people have been saying this prayer in religious services everywhere. Is it wrong? No, it's Scripture. But does it really accomplish what Jesus had in mind when he said, pray like this, after this manner, pray ye? No, Jesus was a rabbi. Rebbe. Rav. That's a tender word. And that just meant, you know, you're my teacher. You're a master teacher. And he said, I want you to pray along these demarcations. I'm going to give you some main points, and then you'll have some place to go in your prayer. And the first one was, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Now, we know the rest of the prayer goes on, but we stopped at this point so far, because that's where we're learning right now. We know the prayer goes on and there's much more to it, but really, it doesn't last that long, does it? It's a fairly short prayer. Did he mean that's all you're to pray? No, of course not. He meant you're to pray after this manner, praying these topics. And I want you to know that if you really get to meditating the name of our God, it'll take you a while to get through them. And so that's why we put these 8 redemptive names. These are compound redemptive names of Yahweh. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And so we began to pray those. And nearly every day, maybe I don't always finish all, but most every day, I go through these names. You say, why would you do that? Well, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 makes a statement. And I already quoted it to you this morning. According as His divine power hath given unto us what?
All
things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now, the things that don't pertain unto life and godliness, who gave us those? What does John 10:10 say? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Those are the things that are contrary to life and godliness. Stealing, killing, destroying. But Yeshua says, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so why do I go through these names day in and day out, hallowing His names, separating those names unto myself, keeping them, saying, Lord, You are Yahweh Tzidkenu. You are my righteousness. You took my sin in Your own body on the tree. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to righteousness. You say, do you need to do that every day? I don't know if you need to, but I can tell you what, it helps. How many of you ever have a problem with the devil coming and condemning you? That the devil comes along and says, boy, you act religious in church, but I know where you live. You ever hear that from him? Do you ever feel those guilty feelings? Well, I want to give you some good news this morning. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray and turned everyone to our own way. But God laid on Him the iniquity of us all.
Thank you.
And it's not by works of righteousness that we've done, But it's through the blood of Yeshua. Through the precious blood. And so I go through that name, and I thank God for that. And it sometimes that name alone can take minutes just thinking about His righteousness and what His righteousness means to me. And the main thing that it means is that I now have access to Him. I can come right to where He is. I have this access to the communion with God. And then I move on to Yahweh Makadosh, You are my sanctifier. And You said, be holy, for I am holy. That's what sanctified means, is holiness. And today, then I turn this into my confession. Today I will be holy, for You are holy. You sanctify me holy, spirit, soul, and body, through the washing of the water of the Word. So I know that as I speak the Word, I'm getting washed and sanctified and set apart from sin, set apart unto God. Do you understand what that's about? Now that may take me a while to pray through that. It's not ritual. It's just thanksgiving. In fact, most of the time I'm doing it on my feet. I'm walking. Yahweh Shama, holy is Your name. How I thank You for Your presence, Father. Oh, this name speaks of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yeshua said, I'll not leave you as orphans. I'll not leave you alone. I'll not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. And the Comforter, when He comes, He will what? And I go along and I say, Father, I thank You today. You're teaching me all things. You're bringing to my remembrance the things Yeshua said. You're guiding me into all truth. You are showing me things to come because I'm made nigh unto You through the blood of Messiah. And see, I'm just encouraging myself in the Word. Do you remember when David came back and he found his whole family had been kidnapped and his village had been burned out? And all the men around him said, we're going to stone you. You took us out doing, protecting other people and going on raids, and here our own families get stolen. They're probably dead. We're going to stone you. But David, the Bible says, encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he do it? He began to speak what the Word says. He wrote this psalm, and I had you look for it, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I believe that's the same thought that Yeshua had when He said, hallowed be Thy name. The Hebrews have a part of their prayer book that says, Yitkadal vayitkadesh shamei rabah. Blessed and sanctified, magnified and sanctified, Your great and holy name. Same thing that Yeshua is saying to us. That's what I'm doing when I'm talking about His name. I come, Yahweh Shalom, You made shalom through the blood of Your cross. See, I'm always remembering the blood that brought me these promises. I'm forgiven through the blood. I'm sanctified through the blood. The presence of God is made, I'm made nigh to Him through the blood. Shalom came through the blood of His cross. And shalom speaks of wholeness. Oh, hallelujah. And I say it like this. I will keep my mind stayed on Thee, for You will keep me. Shalom, shalom. Perfect peace. And the shalom of God that passes all understanding keeps my heart and my mind through Yeshua HaMashiach. Man, I'm getting excited about this time, you know. Did you ever come to a prayer meeting and your body didn't want to be there? Huh? Your feelings weren't really involved? They didn't want to be there either? And by the time I get to this point, my feelings are starting to say, could I get involved a little bit here too? That sounds kind of neat. My feelings start to feel good. We took Colleen to the dentist one time and she had some fillings put in. And later on, every time she was feeling bad, she'd say, you hurt my feelings. And she was thinking of her fillings. And so she thought she should tell the dentist about it. Now that's just a sidelight. It has nothing to do with anything. Then we talk about Yahweh Rapha. He's our healer. And sometimes that one, you know, just depending on how good I'm feeling, sometimes that one can take a while. And I begin to talk to parts of my body. Feet, You are just as healthy as that you were when I was young. Hallelujah. My feet walk and they feel good. Hallelujah. Praise God. And my arms and my joints are, look at my joints. Praise God. Because Yeshua took my infirmities and He bore my sicknesses. Yahweh Rapha, holy is your name. Do you understand what I'm talking about with this? Is this starting to get into you? Because once this gets into you, it'll take the drudgery out of prayer. And you can do it driving. You can do it walking. You can do dishes and do it. You can comb your hair and do it. Take a shower and do it. I don't know about you, but I make beautiful music in the shower. That's just a shame that no one can hear me. God hears me, praise God. And so, you know, wherever you are, you can be doing this and you can go through this. Think of it as kind of a circuit and a course that we follow as we pray. And we're hallowing His name and remembering His name. I speak to my heart. Heart, you're healthy and strong and well. Every beat does what it's supposed to. My blood is healthy. My blood vessels are open. Praise God. Every part of my system's good. I mean, I talk to everything. Sometimes I really have to get onto it too. Because sometimes you start to act like, well, it begins to believe what the world says. The world says you get to a certain age and certain things start to happen. You just start to wear out. And I always say, no. Moses didn't wear out. I don't have to wear out. I don't know if any of you know this, but God actually made a statement that the years of a man will be 120 years. When Moses came along and said 70 or 80 years, he was lamenting the fact they were dying in the wilderness. And yet the world is just adopted that. 70 to 80 years is all you got. I remember a man I loved very much saying, after he got to be 70, I'm living on borrowed time now. He only made it to 77. Oh, and he is such a sweet man of God. Could have lived on and on. We had some friends, in fact, we rented a house from them in Longmont. And they said, we recognize that the work of God is for the young people. Oh, no. They'd pioneered churches and gone everywhere. See, we don't believe that around here. Do we, Bob? Praise God. We don't believe that. You'll testify to that. Amen. Is that right? Well, I didn't know that. Man, I thought you were younger than I was. You look younger than me. Praise God. That's what it is. It's the Lord. And it's most of you know our friend. That's right, 120. Most of you know our friend Maureen Magnuson. Nobody ever guesses her to be her age. Praise God. That's because people have the attitude we're going to live a long life. I'm going to be satisfied. Say satisfied. Are you satisfied? Real satisfied? That was a cheer, wasn't it? Praise God. Well, we can cheer in church, can't we? Amen. Amen. So I prayed and I talked to our provider. I say, Yahweh, Yireh, you supply all of my need according to your riches in glory by the anointed Messiah, by Yeshua. The King of Kings, and you've supplied my need. And I talk about it. I say, I'm walking along and I'll say, I'm rich. Very rich. God's blessing comes after me and overtakes me, and the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And He adds no sorrow to it. Well, what am I doing? Am I taking something upon myself? No, I'm just quoting the scripture, putting me in the first person, right? That's what first person is me, right? Well, maybe that's second person. I don't know. Never was an English major. Praise God. But that's what we do. We talk like that. And then I say, Yahweh Nisi, I hallow your name. I worship you and honor you by your blood. You were defeated and conquered. What looked like an eternal conquering was laid on Him for us. He was killed. He laid down His life for us. But the scripture says His banner over us is love. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He died for us. And what can separate me from the love of God? Shall tribulation? Distress? persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Can these separate us? No. Say nay. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Messiah Yeshua, Yahweh, our Lord. Praise God. Think about it. So I'm coming through these things, and I'm praying them like that. And then finally, after I've gone through this, and this can take a while. You understand what I'm saying? It may take me over a half hour to do this. It may not. Probably won't right at first. But you see, different scriptures come to mind every day. It's not the same old, same old, same old, because I've been hiding the Word in my heart. And then Henrietta and I'll read together. And I'll say, wow, that just verifies that he's Yahweh Yireh. Right there. Tells me. And see, I've only given you just a little bit of what I say. But then I come to the end, and I come to the place where I begin to talk about the God who is all of this. The God who has, what did Bob talk to us about this morning? Galatians 3:13. We've been redeemed from the whole curse. The whole curse. Well, see, all of these things represent redemption from some part of the curse. Did you recognize that? Some part of the curse is represented in every one of these things. But when you talk about Yahweh Rohi, the Lord who is our shepherd, you recognize that in the shepherd of the Lord, and he is our shepherd, there is the redemption from everything. It is the overall cover of the whole thing. You see, we've kind of been accused, I think, by some of maybe only talking the good parts. You know, we only talk the good parts. Did you know that in this world you will have tribulation? Did you know that, Chris? In this world you will have tribulation. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say it. I'm not putting anything on anybody. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. Aren't you glad he didn't stop right there? Because he said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. What does the word overcome mean? What's a definition of overcome? You know, when I was a kid, that was a lot of talk about being an overcomer. Because the Bible says to him that overcomes in Revelation.
To get over a difficult obstacle?
Yeah, that's what it is. And it goes on. What is an overcomer? When Jesus overcame the world, what did he do? Did he just get over a difficult obstacle? Yes, but what else?
And he
did
it by a long way.
Yeah, he was the ultimate conqueror, wasn't he? Say conquer. That's what overcoming is to conquer. And when the Bible says you're more than a conqueror, which we just quoted out of Romans chapter 8, more than a conqueror is talking about an overcomer that is overcoming. Uber, as they say in German. Uber overcomer. So that's what we are. Now, here's the thing. Jesus overcame the world, and we're to be of good cheer, because he conquered the attacks of the world. And what is all that is in the world? The scripture says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He conquered all of that. All of the works of the devil. He came, the Bible said, he came to destroy the works of the devil. Did he or didn't he? I had a preacher tell me one time, well, that just kind of means he just loosed us from. No. Loose, luo in Greek does mean loose, but it means obliterated and did away with. He did away with all of the works of the devil. Well, how come they're still here? It's through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. All have not knowledge. The Bible says in Hosea, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Can a Christian perish for a lack of knowledge? I've watched Christians die. I hate to say left and right, but I've seen a lot of Christians die. And in every case, someplace or another, there probably was a lack of knowledge. When they died young, died before their time. Lack of knowledge. Does he want us to die? No. Well, God took him home. Well, sure, he took him home. But you understand how that sounds? God killed him. No. Get this down. God will take you home if you're a believer. Yes. In fact, we had somebody tell someone one time that God didn't take them. And it really upset the other people because they thought that if God didn't take them, the devil did. And that isn't what they were trying to say. God's not the killer. He doesn't come to steal, kill, and to destroy, does he? Death's not in him. Life's in him. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So what we mean is, you live as long as you're satisfied. That's what we're saying. Now, if Jesus conquered the attacks of the world and all that is in the world, how do we take part in that? Well, by knowledge. And here's what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that the born-again believer, is that all of us here today, everybody here born again, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. The born-again believer conquers by trusting. Is that right? We conquer by trusting. And we walk by faith and not by sight. And here's the way 1 John 5:4 puts it. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Are you born again? Then what can you say about you? I'm an overcomer. I overcome the world. Right? Say it with me. I overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith or trust. Our faith. That's how we overcome, is by believing and trusting. Go on to the next verse, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh or conquers the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We are more than conquerors, overcomers. What? By believing. By our believing, by our trust, by our faith. The just shall what? The just shall live by faith. Now, every covenant redemptive name, remember, is because of the blood. It's all by the blood. And so now we're talking about Yahweh Rohi, our shepherd. Redemption from the whole curse, or redemption for the whole man. You see, you're a whole man. Spirit, soul, body. There's not just part of you that's redeemed, but all of you is redeemed from the curse of the law. And to look for the Scripture, we always look at the Scripture that where that name is mentioned in Scripture is which one? About Yahweh Rohi. Where would you find that? The Lord our Shepherd. Psalm 23. And that's exactly what it says. Yahweh is our Rohi, or is Rohi my shepherd. That's what that means. E on the end means my. That's the suffix that makes it a pronoun, my. My shepherd. Now, remember the thief? He comes not to, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But in this shepherd relationship that we have with God, we have what Yeshua said. I have come, John 10:10, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Go ahead and put 11 up now. 11 says, I am the good shepherd. That's how come he can give you abundant life, because he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd does what? Well, how did he give his life? Was that with blood? Yes, the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I need you to understand that blood is so critical in this, because it's by the blood that we are redeemed. We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And all of these names are redemptive names. They speak of the blood sacrifice. We hear a theological term called vicarious atonement. Vicarious atonement. What does vicarious mean?
It's not yourself, it's someone else.
Yeah, it's when you read a book, you can kind of get in and relate with the author of the book, the first person, or, you know, you relate with them. Vicarious. You didn't actually go through it, but you get benefit out of it, right? Well, you didn't actually go through what Jesus did for us, did you? He did it all. And he went ahead and gave his life, a sacrifice. And because he did, and because he was raised from the dead, vicariously, the atonement comes for us. Our sins are forgiven when we believe, and we're raised again with him. We're raised up into newness of life. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. So in John 10:27, Yeshua tells about these people that have been atoned for. And he calls them sheep. John 10:27, my sheep. Sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. Now remember, these are things we're learning about our shepherd so that we can then speak these words to ourselves and hear these words and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. What happens? Faith comes by hearing and hearing, doesn't it? Verse 28 says, and I give unto them eternal life. See, that's what this was all about. He gave his life so that he could give us eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Can you just see where I go when I start saying, Yahweh Rohi, you are my shepherd. You're the good shepherd of the sheep. You lay down your life for the sheep. You've given me abundant life, and I will never perish. No man can pluck me out of your hand. Do you do that? Do you see that? That's what we need to begin to say in prayer. It'll do something for your faith. I have eternal life. So you see in this 23rd Psalm, and let's just look at it in verses and just see how every one of the other ones come out in Psalm 23. Every one of these other redemptive benefits, don't forget his benefits, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That was Psalm 103, verse 2. Here's the benefits. We've got a benefit package here. The Lord has the best benefit package of all. Did you know that? You just can't beat it. Psalm 23 says it's a psalm of David. Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, what other benefit comes out of that? Look at them. What other benefit? I shall not want. Yeah, that's right. Yahweh Yireh. He's our provider. There's great provision in our shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. What? What ones do you see there? You may see ones that I don't see. What?
Doesn't it cover all?
It does. But there's some specifics. You know, when you lie down in green pastures, why would a sheep lie down in a green pasture? It's peace, so there's shalom. Why else? Protection. You know there's protection, so there's nisi. You know that there's also food in green pastures for a sheep, right? So there again is provision again. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Have any of you ever read J. Keller's book on a shepherd's, what do they call it? A shepherd's view of the 23rd Psalm? It's really a neat book. He talks about sheep. And sheep, you know, you can take a sheep right up to a brook that's running real fast and they won't drink. Did you know that? They've got to have still water or they won't drink. They could die of thirst with the water swirling around because it agitates them. And they won't get in and drink. At least so Jay Keller says. I've not been a sheep rancher. I did have a sheep for a while. He used to catch me when I'd come out the door and just about knock me over. Still water speaks of shalom also, doesn't it? Also speaks of provision. He restoreth my soul. Verse 3. What do you see there? Sanctification. What else? Salvation or righteousness? Absolutely. What else? Anything else?
Still peace.
Huh?
Still peace.
Still peace. Still shalom. And you see, here's the thing about righteousness. Righteousness, you need to understand this now. Righteousness is imputed. Say imputed.
Imputed.
What does that mean, Dan? Imputed.
Put on.
Come on, accountant. Huh? Come on, accountant, CPA. It's
credited.
Put where?
Credited
to my account. That's what imputation means. That means that even though I didn't have any righteousness, It's been credited to me. Now, that's a fact for every born-again believer. But does every born-again believer have to walk in the paths of righteousness? We know that many don't. Isn't that right? Sometimes the way born-again people walk, in fact, I told you a little bit about the testimony from the time I was 10 till I was 23, I didn't walk in the paths of righteousness. Well, maybe 11. Maybe I made it 6 months sometime, you know, that I was acting, walking in righteousness, but I wasn't walking in it at all. But now, you see, I've learned that there's a place of blessing, and that's walking in the halakha. Say halakha. Halak means to walk. Halakha is the ways, the walk, the path. To walk in the paths of righteousness. The halakha. The walk according to Torah. The Torah gives us instruction. Tells us how we should walk. How we should go. How we should think about one another. Did you know that? The Torah is full of how you should think about one another. Your attitudes. And so, walking in the paths of righteousness, even though I've already had righteousness credited to my account, to walk in it is a choice. And that's where Yeshua is leading me as a shepherd. And I believe He leads us with His Word, don't you? He restores my soul and He leads me in the paths of righteousness, which speaks, Bob said, of sanctification, and I believe that's right, and righteousness, for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What do you see there? Number one, we can walk in the valley of the shadow of death. Is it possible? You know, some people have said just to live in this earth. The Bible says perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I mean, think about the kind of things happened. Someplace in Boulder just the other day, out in northwest Boulder. They still don't know what happened. Two men that apparently didn't even live in the area drove into that area and one man shot the other right in the middle of the street three times. That's perilous. Bad place. I mean, this is a peaceful neighborhood. People are being shot in their homes. It's the valley of a shadow of death right now, isn't it? But I will fear no... Say it with me. I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. Of the terror by night, nor the arrow by day. You might pray like that, see? Pray with a little music. Kind of keeps it going. How many of you do put music to your prayers? Sometimes I just love to do that with the Lord. I'll get up. I worship You, O God, in this temple. I worship You in spirit and truth. And you know, my heart can get right into that. And you can see that I can't stand still. My whole body gets involved. Spirit, soul, and body. I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, but I fear no evil. What do you see there? What benefits? He is our If I'm not fearing any evil and I'm walking in the valley of the shadow of death, what is He? He is my shepherd, and He is Yahweh Nisi, He's my banner. His banner over me is love. And tribulation or distress or persecution or peril, nakedness, sword, none of those things can separate me. That's in the valley of the shadow of death, isn't it? Well, He's our strong tower. That's one of the pictures of Yahweh Nisi. He's our strong tower. I will run unto the Lord who is worthy to be praised. I will call upon Him. I will run into Him and be safe. That's what we do. It's because we abide in Him. And you see, also in that protection, we also see the shalom again, don't we? Nothing missing, nothing broken. Right in the middle of a storm, right out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, with the waves lapping over and jumping into the boat, I will not be afraid. But the Bible says the disciples were afraid. They got afraid. And they woke Him up and they said, Lord, don't You care that we perish? And He just got up, looked out into the waves and the darkness, the winds blowing His hair. He said, peace! Shalom! Does that sound a little bit more like what he did? What was he doing? He was calling Shalom. And after he called Shalom, he said, be still. And that's what he'll do in your life. In the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You're with me. You're with me. If he's with us, that's Yahweh what? Shema. Yeah, that's right. He's with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We talked a little bit about that the other night because Charles Capps had that psalm in his teaching book, but he didn't say rod and staff, did he, Bob? What did he say? The word and the spirit. The word, thy rod and thy staff. You know, what does a shepherd use a rod for? What does he use his staff for? Any of you ever thought about what he does? Yeah, he does that. Yeah. Yeah. Now, you see, some people have the idea, and some shepherds get like this, by the way. Some under-shepherds have done that. They begin to beat the sheep. But that's never what Yeshua did he? Yeshua used the rod to direct the sheep. It was a directing thing. The staff, to direct them. Sometimes maybe to grasp them and bring them back from danger. But there was another reason for that staff. That staff, what? It was also a defensive weapon. You remember David said, as the shepherd of Israel, he said, when that bear came along, I just grabbed him by the beard. And he thrust him through, didn't he? He killed him. Rod and staff, word and spirit, they go together. On Sinai, God gave the word, the commands. At Pentecost, the Spirit came. And now we have a fullness, word and spirit. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They come alongside me to help me. Isn't that right? That's what it does. They comfort me. So we've got with that, we've got presence. His presence, that's comfort. And shalom, again, peace, wholeness. Thou preparest a table before me. What do you see there? Is anybody here? What do you see when you have a table set before you? What? Huh? That's right. There's provision, isn't it? He provides all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He gives unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Hallelujah. And where does He prepare this table? In the presence of our enemies. So what's necessary after that? There's protection necessary, right? That's Nisi. But He also anoints my head with oil. Why would God anoint your head with oil in the presence of your enemies? Well, that's exactly where the anointing is necessary, isn't it? Right here on the earth where we fight the good fight of faith. Now, J. Keller says that when the sheep have this oil on their heads, and he said that really happens, he said when they start butting with other sheep, they just slide off. They don't do the damage. He says that's something the shepherds do to sheep that fight a lot. Can sheep get that way and get in strife? Absolutely. But you see, in the presence of our enemies, He anoints our head with oil. Be careful that you don't get to head-butting a lot with the world. Some people seem to think that's what we're supposed to do. Our job is to present the gospel. Good news. Does it do any good to call an abortionist a murderer? How many of you have seen them changed because of that? Well, I don't know, but I just don't believe that's the right way. I have a hard time with the sign carrying, mainly because I just never saw Jesus carrying a sign around saying the end is near. Did you? And yet He did have public ministry. But what was He doing? He was sharing good news. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Don't get to be a headbutter. Let your anointing, and the anointing speaks of the presence of God in your life by the Holy Spirit. Anointing also speaks of healing, doesn't it? Anointing, your head with oil, also speaks of Rapha, Yahweh Rapha. My cup runs over. Well, there's a lot of ways that gets good, but especially in provision. He's more than enough. He's El Shaddai. He's the God of plenty. Finally, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We had a pastor down in Longmont, and he named all of his kids Galen and... but what was the other one?
Sherry.
And I can't remember the other one. Guy. And then finally, he named his last little girl Shirley. And I said, "I'm glad to see you finally gave one of your children a Bible name." And he looked at me real fun. And I said, "Yeah, Scripture says Shirley, goodness and mercy." Well, anyhow, he didn't think that was too funny. But... surely, certainly, say certainly.
Certainly,
without a doubt, without a doubt, goodness and mercy follow me. And I've said that for a long time, and then I looked up that word for follow. And that word for follow means, if you just take all of them and blend them together, it means in hot pursuit. Can you imagine God's goodness and mercy being in hot pursuit of you? I don't know if you've ever had to run from a dog or I told you about that sheep that would get me. If I saw him, he didn't get me, you know, but I had to run to get out of his way. And we had a goat that did the same thing. But can you imagine something good coming after you? Blessings. We talked about it a little bit one time a while back that there's a blessing truck for all of us. God's wanting to just send His blessings, goodness and mercy coming after us. The Bible says the blessings of God will come after you and overtake you. That gives you a picture, doesn't it, in your mind when something overtakes you? You're walking along minding your own business and all of a sudden, you know, you're taken over by good things. Mercy. Hesed. Everything good coming after us. Well, that's the shepherd of Israel. That's what he does for us. And the Bible says, they'll follow me not just here and there, but all the days of my life. Now, can you see how my confession through what I've learned here even today is going to be all about these things? Lord, you're my shepherd. You're my good shepherd. Every day of my life, good things come after me and overtake me. I'm blessed of God. I speak through that oftentimes, just quote right through the whole psalm. But sometimes I just pick out certain parts of it. Isaiah 40:11 brings out some more things about it. Things that you need to know so that you have knowledge of Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are young. Doesn't that give you a picture of His relationship with us? Just makes you feel like climbing up in His lap and saying, "I love you, Daddy." Doesn't it? Praise God. Jeremiah 31:10 says, "Hear the word of Yahweh, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock." And go right along with that one. It talks about in Ezekiel 34:12, "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the days that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of the places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm believing because the Word of God says that Israel will be restored.
Hallelujah.
And I believe that when Israel's restored, we're going to see Messiah. They believe that too, by the way. They just don't know Messiah yet. But they believe that when Israel gets called back together, they're waiting for Israel to be regathered. And how's he doing it? Like a shepherd. We could talk a lot about this, maybe someday we will, but I believe that there's something going on in the earth that is so dynamic. And, you know, I've been watching people, ministers that I've known for a long time, and suddenly they're starting to have not just love for Israel, but even a love for the things that pertain to Israel.
Wow.
The Torah.
Wow.
The feasts. I believe God is doing this gathering as a shepherd gathers sheep. And whether you say, "Well, I'm just a Gentile..." Well, you may have been just a Gentile. But God's gathering us into the house of Israel. Or whether you may even have a feeling that someplace back in the back, you must be related. See, I kind of got a feeling a lot of us are related to these covenants. Bloodline relation that God's calling us back. Ezekiel 37:24 says, "And David my servant shall be king over them." Now I've got to tell you, I don't quite understand that exactly. I know that people say, well, that's talking that Yeshua, the son of David, is going to be king over them. But that's not exactly what it says, does it? And it seems to me that maybe in this great reign of God, the kingdom of God, that the King David is going to have a place. I don't know. Some people will argue with me and tell me, no, that's not what it is. And I'm not out here to argue it, but I do know this. It says they shall all have one shepherd. One shepherd. And they shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Matthew 25:32, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." Now what does that tell you about this shepherd? The rod and the staff, and also the separation of judgment, right? Some go to life, and some will go to eternal judgment. And finally, the scripture in 1 Peter 5:4 says, "When that chief shepherd shall appear." Is he coming back? Is he coming back? What's that make you want to say? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come and get us and come and take us, Lord. It says, "When he shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Glory to God. Glory to God. He's the shepherd. Do you see where there's total redemption in the 23rd Psalm? Do you see that as you go through these things and begin to talk about them, you're going to have more of a knowledge? And like Bob said, I suddenly have more revelation about this. And I'm conscious of it. I know that I'm the blessed of God. And I know that the blessing has no sorrow involved with it. Say, no sorrow.
No sorrow.
No sorrow. Only blessing makes rich. And no sorrow added to it. What would you be if you were rich? What would you look like? And the fact is, you are. You look just like you look. But let me just say that the manifestation of these riches is coming. And when it comes, I believe you're gonna see some things that you've never seen before. Number one, you're going to see that your richness is not just in money and what you possess. Not in the abundance of things, but your richness is going to be in tremendous generosity. Amen?
Amen.
Your richness is going to be rich in spirit. Rich in love. Rich in the fullness of the Spirit. Amen? Praise God. So in that context of delightful prayer, the context of communing with God and letting joy come out of us and thanking God. You see, all of these things, when we quote these, it's just natural to say, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. Oh, I praise you, God. All the blessings of God. Come after me and overtake me. Just make me..." And I'm just talking about Him. I'm meditating Him. And if I'm with people, sometimes I'm under my breath a little bit. You do that? You talk under your breath? People look at you and think you're nuts. That's okay. I pray in tongues a lot that way. Other people don't hear me. That's what the Bible says. If it's not time for an interpretation, just pray to yourself in tongues. Mutter. Speak that revealed word. Speak the name. Yahweh Yireh. Yahweh Nissi. Yahweh Rohi. I'm speaking those names, but I'm not just saying the name. I'm expanding, you see. That's why Jesus said pray in this way, like this. And then remember as much as you can aloud. Out loud. Out loud. Say out loud. I didn't hear you. Some of you didn't say it out loud. Say it out loud. Out loud. That's the way we need to say the Word of God. When you read the Word, I recommend to you that you read it out loud. But I can't do that. My teacher won't let me read out loud. Well, just go someplace where your teacher can't hear you. and read out loud. If you can read before the family, that's good. But be careful about that, because if one person does all the reading, that's not good, is it? Everybody needs to hear. Read together. Read words out loud. Why? Bob, tell them why we need to hear. Why, when speaking out loud does something.
Because if you recall back the first time you heard yourself on a tape recorder, it didn't sound like you, did it? You spoke and you heard yourself back and it just didn't sound like you, because we're created with an inner ear. And when we speak, we hear ourselves with the inner ear, not the outer ear.
That's right.
And that's why you sound differently. And the inner ear is connected directly to our heart, basically. And that's why when we speak, what we say gets into our heart quicker than
what
we hear through our ears.
That's right. That's right. It really works. In fact, the psalmist said, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So when you speak, you're actually engraving, embossing, and writing on your heart, the fleshy tables of the heart, those words. It's important to do it. We do need that too. That speaks blessing out wherever it goes, doesn't it? That's right. That's right. Have the word of God resounding from the mountainside. Did you know the Bible says if we don't praise Him, the rocks will? I believe that's not just something to make a point. I believe it'll actually happen. Rocks will cry out. Henrietta walked up one day when we were hiking. We were hiking along and I saw her and she's standing over there and she's...
Listen to the rocks.
Holding her ear right up against this great big boulder. And I said, what are you doing? But she believes it too. She says, if they'll cry out, then they must be able to speak. God can put speech through them. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Father, it's our desire that we'd know how to praise Your name. It's our desire that we would know how to magnify the name Yeshua. Lord, we know how to sing songs together. We know how to do that. But Lord, when we're not together, sometimes we go a week at a time without really praying and without really talking to You. And sometimes if we miss coming together, then we go for weeks without talking to You. And so, Father, forgive us first of all for that. Forgive us. Forgive us for only praying when we're in trouble. Forgive us for only talking to You when we need something. And just show us, reveal, even as we've been praying this morning, reveal today, Father. Reveal to the saints. Reveal to those that are in this house today and to all who will hear this message. Reveal the delight that prayer is. The joy that prayer is. And Lord, teach us that new way of living. Not a religious way, but a new way. And we'll praise You for it and honor You for it in the name of Yeshua. Let's lift our hands up to the Lord. It's a sign of the covenant when you put your hands in the air. It's a remembrance of the fact that men used to cut their wrists when they made covenant. But God shed His blood for us. And so all the blood is His blood. We lift our hands today as a remembrance, Lord, of the blood of the Lamb. We remember all of Your benefits. Say, I will not forget His benefits. I will remember. I will speak often of His name. Thank You, Father. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.